Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone. It's Red News Podcast 228, and it's very nice to be back. I wish we had some atmospheric, like violins or something, because there's an unusual air, until I get to Nathan maybe, of contentness, which feels so... Doesn't it feel wonderful to have had that uplift so we're not, like, miserable? And there's just the general air of niceness. And it's not going to last, but it just feels really nice. The way it ended, listening back, I mean, God knows how many times I've watched the second goal. That is just a thing of beauty. I've literally watched it every day since. And I've watched that so many times. But it just felt very nice, unexpected. But you listen back to the pod and we were really drained. So I don't think the sense of, it just dawned on me. I woke up so happy the next day. This buzz of get in, the unexpected, the backs against the wall, the defiance, the whole day was a thing of beauty. And that's not been lost. And then Eric staying. Now, I'm happy. You know, like, I've argued about it for the last few podcasts. I'm not in the, oh, he's getting a new deal. My overriding thing is I woke up, not as giddy as I did after the cup final, but I woke up feeling, yeah, I'm really happy. I'm happy he gets a chance. I'm happy we're not going to have the what ifs in the air. What if we hadn't have done it? But I am under no illusions. No football contract. Nothing is permanent or even midterm anymore. So if the season starts off badly, he's under, there's no change. You know, it's a stay of execution. And there is lingering in the air that a lot of journos have taken a kick in. And I think it's because they want to be the first at everything. Everyone wants to be the first to get there. But there was, Ineos, was serious doubts. Some wanted him to stay, some wanted him to go. And Southgate was always going to take a break after the Euros. So there is that in the air of that permutation, horrible to a few of us, might still be there. But Eric's got to prove himself. And that's under no bad thing. But I'm really glad for him that it wasn't that we win a cup and it goes to shit straight away as we've had. We knew Van Gaal, many of us, but I know there's others who argue, what if we'd have kept Van Gaal? But I didn't feel that with Eric. I thought, I want to see how he does. Now, he's got to change. It doesn't, what this does, the glee of him staying, and it isn't an up yours for me, it's just a happy for him, happy for the United fans, happy for what we've done. But it doesn't write or erase how shit so vast swathes of last season were. And lots of issues were on him. We're about to find out, were the injuries an anomaly or were they down to him? Will this team without as many injuries, please God, go on and do something? Will he be able to adapt? He did for the last three games. Well, we've got to see more of that. We've got to see a dynamic ability to do more. So he's got to raise his game up a level. But I'm overriding. I woke up the next morning thinking, yeah, I'm really, really, really pleased for him that he gets a go to see. And it might all go to shit. United often has. But it might not. And it's not a clinging at what if Fergie. It's just, let's see. And it's there now. And we are going to see. And that is good. And especially, you know, adding the alternative. There were a lot of things going on. The alternatives were underwhelming. It wasn't being handled very well. I get that Ineos want to judge and see everyone. But it wasn't handled. You know, this review could have been ongoing. And as I said last, if they were doing this for 6 months, if they had a manager right on in January the first game, this is the man we want to lead us. This is the vision. But it wasn't. It didn't seem that. So time changes. You know, Pochettino, this is his third link with United. His time will probably come again that he'll be linked again with United. But at the moment, there are huge issues. But the one that we've always wanted is the fucking squad. Let's sort this. And the man will get to see it through in terms of, we don't get that Sancho back and the horrible feeling some of us would have felt that you're almost rewarding a bloke who's kicked off. You will get to see him. But even better, he's not going to be making these decisions and he's going to have to accept that. So you let the new football structure, as it's even in its 30 embryonic stages, build. So let's see. But we need a striker. I'd say Hoyland for me is still a sub or a 20 appearance man. We've got to get a good striker in next season. We've got to get a midfielder. We've got to get a defender. We've got to get another fullback. So these big, big questions, but overriding is one of that joy I felt from the cup finals carried on. It pretty much by end of August we'll be flapping our heads, but for once we've got a summer where it seems a bit of stability and a bit of growing hope, but that does not erase the shit show, you know, like after Palace how we felt. But for now, I'm going to cling to anything. So I've got two comments before I get to Nathan, who doesn't feel this way, but I'm not preempting what he's going to say. But it's no bad thing. I've got a lot of mates in the WhatsApp exchanges. It's not just because I feel that doesn't mean I'm right. And it's not on up yours either, that you're right to have doubts. There are enough pointers to say there are doubts. But first of all, I've got Coggy and Nick can't be here. Nick's going to hopefully do a thing that I'll intercept halfway of his thoughts. But Coggy's put, sadly I can't, as bastard. I will be sampling the delights of Porto with a sunset cruise. And I've dragged all this lot into it and they're all staring as the summer. What fucking summer. However, I don't want you to forget me. So my take on is it, don't waste your vote, get the Tories out. Anyway, I'm happy we've kept Eric on, although I'm not sure why the need for a new contract. I guess it's designed to help with stability and commitment. However, I think this will all be a good opportunity to move McLaren out and bring in a young, up-and-coming coach, David Ancelotti, that's me, with some fresh ideas. This may all be a bit unfair, as I don't really know what value McLaren brings, but think a reset would be good. And then we've got Jeff, who made a good point on the Red News forum, who went, it's a fair enough call for me for now. I doubt Ten Hag has been given a ringing endorsement by Ratcliffe and company, and he'll be under pressure to perform better, but at least he's been given a chance by the new regime. With proper backing from the people above him, who hopefully know what they're doing, things should improve. It's up to him to prove he's the right man. The lack of credible alternatives at this minute has helped him, probably more so than winning the cup. Maybe like Fergie, he's a lucky manager. Also, of course, he's proved he can win trophies despite all the difficulties he's encountered, which isn't a bad trait to have. So, yeah, interesting, I would say. It's never dull at this club. I will finally move on to the mag. Today we reached target. Now, Nathan and Nick, selling in all weathers, they've got to come back for another year at least. But there were times when I was really doubtful, and I'm humbled by that so many of you give us the opportunity to give you a voice still. I'm humbled by what we do. I never take it for granted. And for you, I didn't think we were going to get here, and we have. And we'll do 30, 40, 50 podcasts next season. We'll do 7 mags. It really is quite emotional that you've got us here. So thank you. Hello, Nathan.
I'm really glad that we've made it, and it was never in doubt. It was never in doubt, I don't think. Even though you thought it was. So I've made some notes.
Go on.
Like, as always, these are quite long notes, and if it sounds like I'm just reading notes, that's what I'm doing. Obviously I'm, you know, buzzing still about the final. Obviously not as much as you lot, because you were all there and I wasn't, and maybe my outlook on it all overall was the reason why I didn't end up there. I just didn't really feel it, and I regret that now, obviously, but I think the news for this week, like, and I understand why everyone is happy, but I don't, like, you've sort of already highlighted it, but I don't want it to be recency bias. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, we've sat through months and months and months of really bad football. Like, you know, we've questioned why we've been bothering to turn up in all weathers when he can't get the players to give a shit themselves. Look back to when, you know, I was on my trip, and every little podcast I was doing, it was like, what the fuck is this? We're terrible. We've spoke countless times about it, you know, and ever since arguably the League Cup, so over a year ago, it wasn't just this season that it's been bad. And it's like, yes, we've had bad injuries, but some of the performances that we've had this season have been unforgivable. And I don't think it is down to just injuries, you know, like, we've lost leads like 2 or 3 nil up in games, and arguably, to me, like, if it wasn't for a very questionable last minute VAR check, we wouldn't have even been in that FA Cup final to start with, and we'd have lost the semi to a Championship team, and we were 3-0 up. You know what I mean? Like, arguably, we might not have even made it if it wasn't for that. Of course, beating City was amazing, and we've said that he got the tactics bang on for that game. But you'd obviously hope that the players would be up for a cup final and wanting revenge from last year. But it's about all the other games throughout the season where they weren't up for it and there wasn't a game plan that is the real issue for me. You know, of course, that day was amazing, you know, even more so for yous. But surely we want some good football for the other 50-odd games that we're going to and to be challenging for the league again. And, you know, when's that going to happen? But obviously he's staying. But it's taken almost 3 weeks for them to make this decision, which to me suggests that it wasn't their first choice. It, you know, if you're definitely going to want to keep him, say it straight after the final, or even better, say it before the final when there was all the talk about he was gone either way. Like, it sounds like they spoke to Tuchel a lot, and for whatever reasons that's broken down. Like, I'm sure that Fabrizio bloke was posting, like, a few hours before it was announced that Tuchel had broken down, like, it wasn't happening. And then they posted that, and then United announced that he was staying. So that, to me, just feels like if they could have got someone else, they would have done. And, you know, of course, if you're going to sack a manager, then you do want to have someone ready in place to go. But it does. It also makes me wonder how Eric must feel about this, the fact that he probably does know that he's only there because there's no one else available. And it's like, yeah, obviously, you know, if there's no one better, then there's no point in getting rid of him. Obviously, it'd be stupid because you'd end up going backwards, and hopefully under a better structure and him not having full control of signings, things will improve, and I generally hope they do. Under him, I like him, and, you know, when it comes to finals, he obviously knows how to win them, and that was the thing that we were critical for Ole for. But not having that killer instinct, and Eric does, you know. So, but like I said, the final win for me is papering over very big cracks. You know, we can't forget the fact that we finished 8th in the league, minus goal difference, worst European campaign ever. You know, we lost so many 2 or 3 nil like leads throughout the season. We couldn't control games. Are these going to improve? You know, that's for me the thing. You know, obviously he's had to deal with Greenwood, Ronaldo, all that, the takeover. It'll be interesting to see what the players who are still there react to this news, because obviously, you know, is Rashford going to be happy? If he's not, do anyone care anyway? But the other thing is, would we be having the same conversation had we lost the final, and would he be staying? And I know it's about winning trophies, but we should be challenging for the league and to be the best in Europe. But we're miles off that. Like, if City had have smashed us in the final, would we be having this conversation that he was staying? And if not, then that makes me worried that they're making these big decisions based off a one-off game and not off the season as a whole. So, you know, that's about it.
I get that, and I also think he would have gone, Nathan. I do. If we'd have got battered, I don't see a question. You know,
does that not worry you that, you know, we've hoped that with Ratcliffe coming in, there's going to be this. I know that he's not, that everyone's not been brought in, but you'd think they're in the air of it. That it's all the decisions changed based on one game.
No, because because my argument goes back to what I was arguing on this, that we said we'd see it through no matter what. I don't want us to be another Chelsea where I didn't even want the tone, even if Eric's going to be gone in October, November, to be 12 to 14 months, that's it, you lot, because the next one will be under that same pressure. So this also sets a tone for, we will allow a bit more patience than other clubs, which might do us. But it's not a dig at you, Nathan. You know, like, I will say, in Eric's defence, he looked like he'd regained a bit of his coolness supping a red wine in Ibiza. That's my man, Eric. That's, you didn't look the 6 months that aged you 10 years. But what does he, last one to you, Nathan, what does he need to do?
Well, I just, that's the main thing, is it's, he needs to be able to get a team that can control games and win games. Like, essentially, like I said, like, as amazing as winning the FA Cup final is, I want to be going to games every week and be winning games and be entertained, and rather than, you know, like I said, we've literally sat through so many games this season, and we've been on here and in the pub after the games going, this is terrible. And I know that, you know, ultimately winning trophies is what we all want in those days, but you don't want it to be a team of moments. You want to be consistently challenging, and we should be I want us to be challenging for the league. I want us to be challenging for the Champions League. Is that going to happen? That's, and we need to start controlling games against the top teams, like obviously we did in the final, but we weren't even controlling games against the bottom of the league. Is that going to change?
No, that's fair. Some people might find this weird, you know, that I'm just glad we're about to find out. Some people might sound defeatist, but I'm satisfied that the questions will never be like unsaid. And
before we move on, yeah. Obviously, like I already said, it'd be ridiculous to get rid of him if there isn't a better option. Do you know what I mean? So, based on that, it's the right decision. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I wish he'd have gone no matter what. Because, no, obviously not. Because if you get rid of him and then you can't bring anyone else in, then the club is worse off, and the club is the main priority, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, right now, it's obviously the right decision to make, because it's not like Ancelotti is available.
Yeah.
You know, when we got rid of Van Gaal, it was because we were bringing in Mourinho, who was seen as the better option.
Yeah.
Whereas now, there is no better option, so it'd be ridiculous to make that decision.
And that might change.
Even though, even with that, we shouldn't forget, like you've already said, we shouldn't forget that the vast, vast majority of last season was dire.
No, I agree. And maybe it changes in a year. You don't know the candidates. I think, you know, like, I think Liverpool, hopefully they've taken a huge punt on hope, that there's no certainties of like where there was with Pep and Klopp out there. So I want him to be less rigid. I want him to be more dynamic. I do agree with Coggy. I said about McLaren. I don't mind McLaren there as the Mike Phelan, but we need a dynamic coach there, like, to help and maybe push Eric on a bit. He's got to go up not just one level, he's got to go up two. Change games in games more. Be dynamic. Don't be so dogmatic that we know what United are going to do and our opponents know what we do. And certainly, like as we kept saying endlessly, you don't have that problem at Wolves, no matter who the fucking personnel you've got, and stick to it. But there's enough in that last three, and we've said it, and Nathan said it, you know, but all hell, Digger, for telling us we were going to win the last three games and predicting the cup final victory. So Digger, fucking fair play, fist pumps. And all I'd need to bring it back is the cup final. I'm happy Eric's here. If we were just doing this in the West Indies, in the cricket, then I'd be very, very happy. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Barney. Hello, everybody. So like Nathan, I've also made some notes, so it's interesting that we're all making a conscious effort to be more professional.
Serious so topic.
Well, there you go. So yeah, it's changing the whole tone of the podcast. This isn't notes and everything. Starting with the cup final and working from there. I mean, absolutely, as I said on the previous pod, loved it and I've been buzzing ever since. It was a great performance, great atmosphere, and kind of one of those rare days really where it felt like the team and fans had kind of come together, and you know, as a sort of an immovable object. And I think reflecting on it since, I was talking to someone about it yesterday in the office, you know, I think it will really go down as a, not just a final, but a cup run for the ages. You know, so beating Liverpool and City en route to winning the FA Cup, it doesn't really get any better than that, does it? So you know, and you think about that Forest game that had echoes in 1990, the semi-final, and how close we came to losing that. It really was a kind of a crazy cup run that I think we will remember for a long time. And hopefully those kind of, you know, the echoes in 1990 will kind of, will play out in terms of it being a platform for him to kick on in the same way that, that Fergie did, you know, maybe a redemptive performance. And, you know, I sort of take the point that Nathan's making. It is, you know, on the back of one game to make that decision, but, you know, it wasn't just any old game, was it? You know, it's winning the FA Cup against City and pulling out that performance, because it wasn't like we scraped through the game. It was almost a perfect performance against, as much as we hate to say it, probably still the best team in the world, and, you know, the best manager in the world, the best coach out there, to come up with a performance like that and a tactical plan like that just shows that he can do it. So, you know, I think I'm like you, Vanny, I'm pleased overall that he's staying. You know, I think football ultimately is about winning trophies, and he's won two in 2 years, so I think that that's got to count for something. And I think on the basis of that, he does deserve more time. But, you know, obviously agree with a lot of what Nathan said, that, the, you know, you can't gloss over how poor the league campaign was, the minus goal difference, the 8th-place finish. Ironically, it was the worst league campaign since that 1990 season that we've just been talking about. And, you know, the European campaign was an absolute disaster. So, you know, there is a lot of improvement needed. He isn't going to get the amount of time Fergie got, so I think he really does have to have a much stronger season next year and hit the ground running, because I don't think we'll be having the same conversation this time next year if the season's been just as poor. So I think, you know, for me, the next step is to sort of get some consistency into the league performances and put in performances like that one against City on a more regular basis. You know, as I said, there needs to be a huge improvement. And I think the first thing, as I think Nathan mentioned as well, is that, you know, he needs to make the team hard to play against, harder to beat, because we just have been too easy to play against. You know, the way teams have walked through that midfield since the very first game against Wolves, and the fact that it took him until the Arsenal game, 3 games from the end of the season, to do something about that and put Amrabat in there, which made a huge difference in those 3 league games and the cup final. So, you know, you're never going to achieve anything in football without being solid, difficult to play against, you know, not conceding many chances. So I think that's kind of the first thing for me. Get a proper number 6, whether that is, you know, whether we do trigger the option to buy Amrabat and feel that he can do a job there, or whether it's somebody else. We really need someone to sit in front of that defence and give us a bit more solidity. You know, stop giving away so many chances. And secondly, you know, we need to start scoring more goals and hammering the shit teams, because, you know, we didn't hammer anyone last season, did we? You know, I don't think I'm struggling to think of a game that we won by more than one goal. There certainly weren't very many of them. And you look at it, you know, even teams like Chelsea were very inconsistent. We're on occasion turning teams over 4-5-0. Newcastle were doing that, the teams around us. So we really need to start getting more goals into the team. And I agree with you on Haaland, you know, Hoyland rather. I just don't think he's the finished article yet. I think there's definitely a lot of good elements to his play, but we really, you know, we seriously need another number 9 to play up there, and somebody we can rely on for a few more goals. Couple of things I picked up from what you guys were saying. I mean, I think somebody mentioned patience, and I think, you know, one of the things, as Nathan said, is that, you know, there wasn't anybody better, perhaps. And I personally think that's a good enough reason. You know, if there's no better alternatives, then... And I couldn't really make a strong case for any of the people that were being mentioned. I think Tuchel probably is an elite-level coach, but, you know, the issues he has had everywhere. And at Bayern, he left because he wasn't getting enough control. Well, in this new structure we've got, he clearly wasn't going to get that level of control at Old Trafford either, so I think that was a non-starter. Potter's probably a decent coach, but he doesn't seem like an upgrade on Ten Hag to me. Southgate the same. So I just don't think any of the alternatives would sort of guarantee things being any better. So I think, you know, on that basis. But the other thing is the patience. Like, you know, like somebody said, you know, if you look into history, obviously they stuck with Ferguson, and it was as bad, if not worse, than this season. But a number of years, really, in the late 80s, it did take time to come together. And I think, you know, Nathan mentioned you want to be consistently challenging, and I absolutely agree. That's where, you know, we should be aspiring as a club. You know, we're one of the biggest clubs in the world. But it started from a very low base, and it does take time. And I think, you know, you can argue he's not taken things on that much in 2 years. And, you know, maybe he hasn't sort of had a reasonable first season, taken a couple of steps back this year. But I think it does take time to get from where we were when he took over to where we want to be. And the other point was that I think Coggy mentioned around McLaren. I think that's a really good point, this idea of a strong assistant. You know, that was so important and such a big factor of Fergie's success that he was able to sort of change the assistants over the years. So kind of when McLaren came in at that time, he had some really sort of innovative coaching ideas. When Quiros came in, that made a massive difference as well. So that could be something to look at, you know, to get a real kind of strong up-and-coming coach as a number two. That's something that does, you know, potentially make a big difference.
Ben, he's obviously got Mitchell, I always get his name, Mitchell, the Eric lookalike, who's supposed to be very good but very stringent, you know, there first off. But what I think we're saying is you need a bit of dynamic. You need quite, I mean, there's enough fucking people on a bench, but just needs, like, McLaren look, maybe being very unfair, but McLaren looking at that iPad bereft as another goal went in, just, I thought, was symbolic about how the league season ended. But as your point being that, how long it takes to build. I was looking the other day in my Man U mad moments and how quickly it takes to dismantle it. And just 14 years ago, in November 2010-11 season, our first defeat of the season was at West Ham League Cup on November the 30th in any competition. And our first league defeat was February 2011, Wolves. Always bloody Wolves. But it just startled me because we knew... But I'd envisaged, when I'm off memory, that those last few Fergie seasons were a battle of attrition. You know, I know we won the final one quite easier than we thought it'd be. But you just think, you know, like, so it takes a long time to build. It's so easy dismantled. But only 14 years ago, Shane's flirtation period. Before, I'm going to go on to Shane, but I will say, it was, like, if you could taste those days and relive them, the cup final, it's just such a special day. And, like... It was one of those you just want to relive over and over again. I will say, it's fazed me a bit, this algorithms, they listen into us, that I've had cargo pants ads appear on my Instagram feeds as ads since Shane's debacle of a attire. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, you'd be pleased to know, I've actually bought even more cargo pants since going to Glastonbury in a couple of weeks.
I hope you piss yourself, Shane.
Yeah, I probably will, but I don't want to care there. Yeah, I agree with the, I'll come back to the cup final because I made probably not as much notes as Ben and Nathan, but I did make a few points. But I'll come back to the cup final because I always think it's interesting, you know, your giddiness immediately after a game, does it stand the test of time? And maybe the League Cup last season, some of us, like me, were over giddy, but I'm still as giddy today about that cup final against City that as I was at the time, which is a good measure. But yeah, on the manager, I think I said previously on the last pod at Wembley that, you know, I wanted him to stay. I think he deserves the third season. This chopping and changing managers hasn't worked over the last decade, so I think he should be given at least another season. And we were saying in a chat yesterday, weren't we? And I just, you know, I'm going to read out what I said there. But the problem is with United, I think most people underestimate how big a job it is. And it's, you know, I don't think there's many managers on the planet, possibly the exception of Ancelotti, maybe Pep, that wouldn't need to learn on the job. It's a step up from almost every job, both in terms of, you know, the sort of scrutiny and the size and the magnitude and focus you're going to get. And, you know, that was the, as Ben's alluded, that was the case with Fergie. And, you know, Fergie was, you know, is arguably the greatest or one of the greatest managers of all time, you know, and you're not going to find another Fergie in a hurry. So if Fergie had to learn on the job, so does everyone else. So I think he does deserve the question in that Nathan's and others have rightly pointed out. He definitely deserves that for his in-game management and the performances over the last season. But I think equally, you know, it can be true that he deserves questioning, but equally it could be true that he deserves to stay for now. And I think, you know, no one's going to get the time that Fergie got anymore. I think there's an impatience in football now with the internet and the way the media is and the way a certain element of the fan base are, particularly those, you know, on Twitter and the likes, want instant success, and that carries weight, I guess. And so there is going to be an impatience. But I think I'm glad he's staying. And I think, you know, another manager come in, it wouldn't be a like-for-like comparison because they would have this new structure in place to support them. And he hasn't had that yet. He's inherited a basket case of a squad in a basket case of a club that's got no structure really. And if you step back and look at it even in the wider scheme over two seasons, he got a third place in his first season and he's won two major domestic trophies. Well, you know, to counter a really bad season just gone where he had a ridiculous amount of injuries and some disciplinary stuff to sort out with Sancho, the Greenwood thing probably, you know, obviously wasn't planned for, and that probably destabilised. He had Ronaldo the season before, and I think, you know, we can't on one hand say someone needs to come in and give these players a kick up the arse, and then when he does give them a kick up the arse, we've got to accept the disruption that causes. So, you know, we saw it. Ferguson outed, you know, some big names when he came in for the longer term. So I think he deserves a chance. And I think the other thing I'd make on the manager is that for me he is under, you know, he is under the spotlight, and he is needs to be questioned. But just as much as him, I think the new regime, like Ratcliffe and all those below him, are just as much on trial as, you know, we've kind of, in a way, just taken it as a given that, oh, thank God, there's some sort of football structure being put in place and that's our saviour. But it's no guarantee. You've got to get the right people in. And, you know, hopefully it was a media-fueled thing that we've seen recently, but I wasn't overly impressed with the names being touted. And the randomness of them, you know, like as Ben just said, you Tuchel or Tuchel, however you, what's the, I don't know what the pronunciation is of his name, but
don't fucking ask me, I get so many wrong, Jesus.
He's clearly a top coach, but equally, he's not, as Ben said, he's not one to work under the direction of others, and he's a short-term manager. He flits around, so you know, surely we should be looking for the longer term. So that was a bit random, I thought. You know, Southgate, not for me. You know, Pochettino, I know a lot of people rate him, but like he doesn't win anything. You know, he didn't deliver Spurs a trophy. I think he's, yeah, I would have question marks over him just as much. So I agree with Nathan and Ben that like the alternatives weren't great either. So if someone had come available that could have, you know, fit, had a big fit with the new regime and we felt had the shoulders for the United job, then maybe you'd consider a manager change. But overall, I'm glad he changed. I think what he needs to do now, like he needs a bit of luck, whether it's luck or a better kind of medical fitness department. But the biggest thing that he could do is keep his best players fit. You know, Martin, you know, we've seen the difference that a fit Martinez can make to the team. That would be more important now. Varane's gone, so we need to keep the top players fit next season. I think I agree with most of the comments about signings. To me, I wrote down that I think he needs a centre-back to replace Varane. I know Varane wasn't available much, but a quality defender on top of their game, as Varane was again in that cup final, is what we need. And I think as admirable and as good as Maguire was last season, can't fault his attitude, and he had a steady season, I'd say. I don't think Maguire ultimately is that man. I'd be happy for him to stay, you know, as a centre-back, to be the third-choice centre-back, but I think we need someone of quality alongside Martinez. I think I totally agree with Ben. A midfielder that can do what Amrabat done against City in the cup final is a must for me. That, like as Ben said, the midfield, other than towards the end of the season, was just a big liability all season, really. It was our weak point, wasn't it? Teams were just wading through. It was actually difficult to judge the defence because they were left so exposed. And then, like once you've got those two positions, I think a forward would be a bonus, as you all said, to take the pressure off Hoyland. And another big if for me is a keeper, if I'm honest. I'm not saying we should replace him, but he's got to do better next season. Like the cup final error, we all kind of glossed over a little bit, but it was a bad goal to let in at that level. And, you know, if he plays like he did last season, he will cost us dearly, I think. So I think that's
Shane.
To me, that's a quarterback he's got to step up.
He's still my man of the match for the time wasting from minute two, mate. I'm not changing that. And that was, I'm sober now. I'm not changing his. And like people have said, I'm glad there was, I thought there'd be longer than 7 minutes injury time, but let it go, Barney. The tyranny bastards, and I'm not even going to get onto them tonight, but yeah, the tyranny shit and the legal and why, all of that nonsense, but up the tyranny Reds. But I will quickly, Shane, sorry, I'm just going to, but it is, it's to challenge Ineos, or always challenge, you know, where's the Glazer get out? And just going, I'll go back to you in a sec, but it's like, my thing is, we have to get the abacus out here because it's like maths at school. You take your earnings from, you know, FFP, and we don't know how much money we've got to spend. But as much as what we're saying, we need positions right now on the pitch, we've got to have more inspiring subs benches. You know, the amount of times I've looked at it going, raw, naive, young, you know, and you look at even like a fifth or a sixth place Spurs bench, you look, you know, do you think their bench looks stronger to bring on? You've got to have these players where that's was, you know, Hoyland to bring on. But and last thing on the Eric, what I did like, and I'm not saying this is not going away, you know, I do think it's a stay of execution, but it should be at United. You need to start a season well. Enough of this starting shy and we're always catching. It should be the challenge now. Come on, prove yourself. So I'm all right with that. But I did love Manu and Garnacho obviously hugging him, but the video of Luke Shaw properly, you know, not involved in it. And I know he's getting a lot of stick now, but Luke Shaw spent about a minute and a half with Eric, obviously going, I'm proud for you. And I thought there's little things. So he still has X amount of the players with him. Sorry, Shane, interrupted you, mate.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's like that, like watching it back, you don't necessarily notice everything, the detail when you're in the ground, mainly because I was just either hugging people or jumping up and down. But it did strike me that, you know, I for one thought he was a goner because I thought he'd lost the players, but it was evident on the pitch after that he hadn't lost all the players. There was quite a lot of warmth and affection from the players, you know, it was a two-way thing. But yeah, the cup final, I know we said it all in the pub afterwards, so I don't want to repeat all of that, but it was just, I agree with Ben, it was a really special day, and I think it was for all of us, but particularly, like, you know, Connor was there with me, you know, 20, I think it was like there 77 or 85, or it was, you know, as that was for me. And I think it literally, like, it sounds a bit like dramatic, but, you know, being a bit, you know, you're grinding away at work and life, you know, nothing particularly wrong, but you it's literally lifted my mood for yeah, you know, the last few weeks. Literally, that in itself has lifted me, and it, you know, and I love that United can do that. It really was a great day, one of those you never want to end, and, you know, like the pub afterwards was just magical, and even just the happiness and the, yeah, it just was a great, great day. And I agree with Ben, and I think you said it as well, and we said it in the pub afterwards. It just, there was some sort of sense, like in the pub before, on the tube, Wembley Way, it was just like some defiant mood from the fans that just, you're not having this, City, you know. Every time they tried to sing before they were outsung, everyone seemed up for it. And then the team matched that, as Ben said, for once it was perfectly aligned. It was just like a perfect, everything clicked in. And I just, like, I'm going to sound like a deviant now, but I was laughing to myself the next morning because I vaguely remembered quite early on in the pub afterwards that there was a family of City fans, and the lady, not an unattractive MILF, as we've determined, she bought a mag off Barney, and there was a bit of banter, and fair play, you know, City fans, she bought a mag, but they were kind of poshish, I would describe them as, you know, like the new Man City fans. And the family must have gone off, like we were in the pub for hours, and they must have gone off and had a pizza or something next door, because later on in the evening they come back past again, and she kind of playfully gave us the finger of abuse as she went past, and we were singing. But I was kind of, even that little moment, I thought, yeah, she was looking at us thinking, I wished I was with them, not this lot. Like, they're more fun than my fella. I mean, like, and I'm thinking, like, even she in her City shirt, she wanted to be with us because we were better than City on the day. It just made me chuckle in an immature way.
I will say, yeah. I just needed to digest it. And that is the wonderful, you know, it's properly made my mood bounce, because don't get me started on the weather, folks, because Nathan, I've done his head in, all, it's just grey and miserable. But it's the sad and magnificent thing of being a supporter of any team, I suppose, but United particularly, that it can, you know, bring you such, we've had so miserableness and it can bring you such joy. That I had a great night, Shane and his boy, and that was lovely. And then I woke up the next day and there's nothing to be worried about here. But it's like, so I checked, messages. And then my last three tab searches on Safari on the phone were Lionel Blair. And I'd gone down this rabbit hole. I don't know why, but on the train back, as you do to occupy yourself, I must have got it in my head, A, is Lionel Blair still alive? B, was Lionel Blair in Celebrity Big Brother? And C, what did Lionel Blair die of? And that was the three last things on Cup Final night. Glory, glory, Man United. Go figure. Nathan.
Are you going to give us the answers to any of those questions?
Well, he sadly is no longer with us. He was in Celebrity Big Brother, and I can't remember what he has passed away with. Dear Lionel, Lionel Blair Reds. Right. I've got a question for you, Nathan. Who would be your striker to bring in? Because there's a lot of... Tony's apparently 60 million fee. I mean, I'd still go for Watkins myself, but... He's not going to leave Champions League football, is he? Let's be honest.
Well, I think the slight tangent, but I think that the fact that FFP, I think it, or whatever it's now called, is so, the rules for it are so ridiculous that Villa are just got Champions League and they're having to sell players. Like that, I know we're going on to, it's a different club and stuff, but you never know if you came in with a big offer, they're having to offload players to. Even though they've just got Champions League, they're having to offload players to not get point deductions and stuff, which I think shows that FFP's a load of bollocks the way it's run. But I imagine if you went in for him big enough,
who would you though? Like just in a make believe bollocks.
Maybe it would be what kids prefer. I think I've never really. I don't know with Tony. I think. If we're going on a tangent again, I was surprised he got picked for the England squad, because I don't think he's really done anything since he came back from his ban. Maybe I would go Watkins, to be fair. If we were to go for someone that we know about, rather than, I'm not up on my European football and who else is out there available or whatever, but I think, I think we should be 100% trying to get that Branthwaite nailed down. I think that's the main, like we mentioned before about getting another centre-back. I think he's the one that we should be, that they need to sell, don't they, for FFP again, before the end of June, I think it is. They need to get everything, their money and stuff sorted, don't they? So that might work in our favour to get him slightly cheaper or whatever, but that'd be my main one.
I don't know enough. I don't really, I'm a Luddite. I don't know enough about if these players are going to be the good. Nobody stands out like. And so the Eze one, obviously, but I think there's going to be a lot of clubs in for him. And seeing.
Him and Elise, I've seen Chelsea in for Elise, because obviously they need more players, don't they? They've got a few.
Well, I'd bite your hand off for Conor Gallagher. I mean, I think he's a box to box. I think he's a very good, you'd have him as a squad player. I think if they're going to sell him, who they rated as a. I think he's a no brainer. I really do. I mean, I'd also go for Jared Bowen. If you're going to build up these players who are really good, not just squad options, but really good, known, proven Premier League. I think they're like, but he's not obtainable. But I would guess if Conor Gallagher's available, I'd go. I forgot to say, I sent a photo and thankfully one of the lads who stood with me at Wembley, got to follow him. But there were a dad and his two lads. And at the final whistle, the dad just hugged him, crying. And I thought, don't ever say what a game of football can do and the significance and what it can mean to that. And that. And I loved the fact that the Euros, as of yesterday, were 48 hours away. And we just dominated Sky News. We were endless. Manchester United. It was a manager staying. We just dominate still, even when
I got excited yesterday. Like this is even though it seems like I'm always on a downer or whatever, but when we got that notification through yesterday saying that the fixture dates and the fixture list is out on Tuesday already, and I was like, oh yeah, that'll be good, I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, you know.
But that's the thing, the season that we said we can't wait to finish, can't wait for a break, the cup final left enough lingering in the air that I think, oh, when's it back? Ben, who would you be your number nine?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying there. I mean, in an ideal world, I think Watkins would be a great option, but I don't think, why would you leave Champions League football to go and play in the Europa League? So I know we're a bigger club and all that, but I'm not sure that one's viable. The one that I've just written down on that sort of similar line is Isak at Newcastle. I like him, and they're obviously not in Europe, and also, I believe, as Nathan said, with Villa, have got to sell players because of financial fair play, bizarrely, given that they're owned by the Saudis. But so I think he could be a good shout. As more of a sort of left-field one, maybe this guy would be more of a squad than sort of the main man leading the line, but I quite like that Ruiz at Fulham as well. I think he scored quite a few good goals last season. So, because I think we do need more bodies up there. You know, we need some proven quality, but also we just need more options. You know, I'm sure we've all watched the 99 documentary recently. And, you know, you had world class players who could come off the bench. Maybe he's not world class, but you get my point. As you said earlier, it is literally Hoyland, and after Hoyland, where are the rest of the forwards? So I think, you know, we might need to look at some slightly cheaper options who could, you know, come in for certain games and give us something off the bench. So, yeah, he might be the one I'd look at.
But
especially after we've lost Martial, obviously, you know.
Well, yeah, because came off the bench and did so much.
Did you see that his agent put a statement out that we're not being greedy, and also he's trained for 2 months. I thought, what a world where Anthony Martial, it was like a prize, you know, and he's been training for 2 months. Well done, Anthony. You know, well done, mate. Who would be yours, Shane?
I struggle a bit. I think I probably don't watch as much football as the rest of you other than United, but I think of the ones mentioned, I think I'd, from what I've seen of him, I'd go for Watkins. I just think I think we've got to be a bit realistic that this is not me being pessimistic. I just don't expect anything dramatic to happen this summer. I think it might be quite quiet as Euros on. I don't think, you know, I don't fully understand the financial fair play implications, but you know, there's a bit of recycling that the squad needs to be done, but I'm expecting a couple of players to come in, but not much more. So I think they've got to choose really well, and I'm just not convinced. You know, I'm enthusiastic for next season, but I'm not expecting miracles. I just want a steadier season where we kind of, you know, we're challenging for that top four and just settling down a bit. I don't expect loads of new players to come in, nor there to be some transformational.
No, but there's going to, you just don't know.
So I don't think it's realistic to expect a whole flood of players to come in, and I'm not even sure that's the right thing to do.
But we need four or five, Shane. I do think, you know, like we know, you know, going back, we can't say now, right, let's kick on and then expect miracles underwhelming.
But I think that's easier said than done. I don't.
No, I get that. And it's, I know I'm playing fantasy football.
It depends who moves on as well, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I think getting Varane off the wage bill is obviously as great as he was in the cup final at his age with that injury record. We couldn't give him a contract, so that freed up a bit of money. Hopefully there's an opportunity to move Casemiro on as well, maybe to Saudi, and then that frees up quite a bit more, doesn't it? And then, you know, if we can get rid of Sancho and even Rashford potentially, then all of a sudden it looks a bit different, doesn't it? There is a bit of money to play with.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it still feels to me like, you know, we seem to say this every season, we still need the spine of the team, really. I mean, we've talked about it already tonight. You know, we need a defensive midfielder, we need a centre forward, we need a centre half. I mean, that is the spine of the team. We need a goal. We're not going to move the goalkeeper,
no.
So he gets another season. But those three positions are, you know, crucial to any football team. And I think the defensive midfielder, you know, maybe there is a workaround with that we triggered the 20 million for Amrabat, given that he did look capable of playing that position towards the end of the season, so maybe he can fill in there for a year. But I think we can't rely on Hoyland again. There's just not enough goals from Hoyland alone. That is absolutely crucial if we're going to, you know, if we're going to get that goal difference going in the right direction next year. And centre half wise, you know, as Shane said, Maguire, yeah, he's got a great attitude, does a job, etc., but we need a better centre half. And I think that Branthwaite would be, you know, he's someone who, isn't necessarily going to hit the ground running, you know, that he's going to take time to develop, but I think he would be a good signing at centre-half. And then, you know, I think they're the big three priorities for me. I mean, I've sort of struggled with Dalot for a number of years, but I feel like I'm maybe finally starting to come round on him. He did have a good season, and when he counted, he played really well in the cup final as well. So maybe the right-back isn't as desperate as it looked like a year ago to me.
Left-back is.
Depends on Shaw's fitness, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we can't, Ben, we can't. You know, we can't go through this again. Can't. It would cost us, you know. You just can't. You can have him, but you've got to buy someone in. Got to, for me.
But the other thing is, there's talk about Bruno, hasn't been linked with Bayern Munich now. I think we really need to keep him. I think he is our best player, and that was proven in the last couple of months of the season. And he was, you know, in the final, it was a real kind of leader's performance. But again, if he was to go, then he's probably someone that you could get some serious money for. So that potentially...
I don't think we can, you know... If we do that, I think we're in deep. You know, there's an argument that the dynamic of the team change. I will say on the Hoyland thing, but again, going to a match of the day, and I think it was a January one that I watched, clearing all my space, that it said that Garnaccio played six passes and Anthony, and that was when they were at five by January. He'd had 11 passes like into the box to him, and you just think that again goes back on Eric. You've got to change your style of play, Shane.
I just forgot to say something at the cup final, still leaving on that. But on Hoyland, I did appreciate it in the stadium at the time, but it's only watching it back. And one of the best bits watching back was that Hoyland break at the end, where he done brilliant and won the free kick.
And McTominay throwing the ball like a child. That's man of the match moment too. That deserves its own recognition.
But that little Hoyland caveat at the park, I do really like him, and anyway, in the cup final, I just thought it was a great moment. But I appreciated it in the stadium, but it was the moment that I kind of it only struck me how good it was when I was watching it back on TV.
No, I think there's something in there, Shane. I don't know how much, but I just don't think you can suddenly say there's a bloke 50, 60 games. That's it. That's it. You've got to. I will. This has been very serious. I've got quick questions, and I'm sticking by my prediction. This is the tournament where Pickford usually overexcels, makes massive howler. I'm gutted for Maguire. I find it a shame because he deserved to go there and do all right after a good part of the season. I think England will get to the quarters maximum, but I'm looking forward to being sat watching football that I don't care about, and I always like that. Cricket World Cup, the Olympics to come, and football I don't really ask about but is on. Any Euro predictions, Ed? Or do you care? None.
I'll always watch as many games as I can, you know. I love a bit of Hungary against Ukraine or whatever on a 2 p.m. or whatever, but I think England will. If it goes the way that it's due to go, we'll probably play Italy and Spain or Spain in the quarters, which I think would be tricky. And then even if we beat that, then we'll get knocked out by France in the final anyway. In the semi-final anyway, I think it's wild that we're down as favourites. I think France will walk it, if not them. Maybe Portugal. I think Portugal.
I think Germany is post nation, but I do think Southgate, for why I've got reservations. Big. He's not a gambler, and you need to be a gambler to be really successful as a manager, and that's his undoing. Ben.
On the Euros.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would think England have got a good chance with the forward players they've got, but the defence is a bit of a weakness, isn't it? I think that probably if they were turned up playing Italy or Spain, I've not looked at it. I think they would possibly beat either of those teams, and then who knows? Once you get to the final four, I suppose it's anyone's, isn't it? But, you know, I don't really know. But like you, I'm looking forward to what. I'm quite excited about the first game tomorrow, actually. And I'm looking forward to watching it. I've got my wall chart that I'm going to be doing with a 7-year-old. So, I love these tournaments when they start. And, you know, realistically, I'm probably going to be limited to watching the evening games. I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, the Olympics as well, the cricket's good. Quite excited about the Olympics, actually. We've been at a sort of good time.
Yeah.
I've watched quite a bit of that as well. So, and like you say, it's that thing that you can watch and just relax, really, can't you? You're not too bothered about
no United stress. It's just, like, brilliant.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Shane?
Yeah, I watch it. I'm honest with you. I actually didn't realise it was starting this. I thought it started next week, and it was only on Monday I realised it was starting this week. I haven't got that much interest.
As I was going to say, as is told by that story there, Shane, I think.
I agree. I do like watching these tournaments because it's a different type of watching football. You relax, not that asked about the outcome. But I think I'm even less excited about this. But maybe I'm going to Glastonbury in a couple of weeks. So probably that's sort of foremost in my mind, and that I'll probably miss an England game if they got through when I'm there. So I'm not really that asked to mention about international football, but I will have a look at it when it's on.
I deeply apologise for asking you, Shane. Yeah, he was a man who really...
If I was forced to make a prediction, I asked Connor, my lad, who is more up for it, and he said France, so I go with France.
Okay, right. I'll get on. I've got two very... one, summer, hate of the weeks, and two, razor blades. So... Compatible razor blades, you know, like, so you go to put your new razor in a blade thing and they don't fit. They used to fit. You'd get one, the pack of five, and you put it in your razor thing and they don't fit. And I've got two lots that don't fit. And I just said, please make them compatible. Stop being arsey. Make them compatible. Right, it's petty. It's a shame. You've got a good one, haven't you?
I've got a few, actually.
Go on.
They're not good, but they just built up. I've been a bit run down this week, so I think things have bothered me more than they should. But, like, I'll start with a serious one. I got pickpocketed last week, so that's pickpockets my hate of the week. There's no kind of humour in that. I just hate the fuckers.
Fair enough.
Caused me a load of grief. I went to see Liam Gallagher on Friday, begrudgingly. It was a good gig, despite the city... there was a mob of City with a big flag at the front, which kind of like, even the cup meant that I couldn't even get bothered by that. So that was good. But what my hate was, like, why do men in their 40s and 50s have to swag around at a Liam Gallagher gig trying to walk like him? They're trying to walk like Liam Gallagher, but they look like a geriatric John Wayne. It was just pathetic. They were like, what are you thinking? And one fella was walking with his young lad and he was strutting around. I thought, why are you doing? Like, me and Luna, my wife, we just stood there having a beer, just having a giggle, watching all these middle-aged men trying to be Liam Gallagher. So I guess it's not so much a hate, it was funny, but why are they doing it? My next random one was, there is a bit of a thread running through the next few. I went to buy a cheesecake for my daughter's birthday, and everyone had, like, fruit on top of it in the supermarket. Like, keep fruit off of cheesecakes, just a classic New York. There's no need to put a layer of strawberries or raspberries or anything on the top of them. Just keep it simple.
I'm not a fan of cheesecakes. I find them pointless. That's not a dessert.
So my hate is meddling. Like, there's no need to meddle with a classic cheesecake. It's nice in itself. Why does someone have to sort of...
Do you like cheesecake, Shane? I sound like Early Doors now. Do you like circuses? Yeah. Do you like cheesecake, Shane?
I do.
I don't like circuses or cheesecakes.
Anyway, it's the meddling bit that wound me up. Just leave it simple. And that put me on to doing that fucking app thing with the tickets. Again, why meddle? Like,
Only United could ruin a mood by the fucking email about where it doesn't make sense about the cup scheme. And I've not even downloaded the app yet. I can't do it. Shane's stormed off and his video's paused. Go on, Shane.
The fact of the app is, it's like, I just phoned them up because there was a problem with ours. I need to get a refund off a membership thing as well. And I said to the fella, there is zero benefit of this to me, yet it's like someone's fapping to make life more difficult needlessly. Anyway, I had to go through the rigmarole of, like, fanning about transferring make-believe tickets to make-believe people in June. I was like, what the fuck is this about? And then it gave me a message saying, good news, your daily streak is up. Like, you know, what? When did the fucking streak turn from Ever Caroe getting a tits out on a rugby pitch to logging onto an app? You know what I mean? Where did this thing come from?
They had a pitch invader at the baseball this week. Did you see that? And he got tasered. I thought that would make it more exciting. Runs across and he actually gets tasered. I thought that brings a whole new dimension into it. Right.
I feel like they get a raw deal, I think, pitch invaders. First of all, like, they turn the cameras off them, don't they? But
a man or a woman, would get his tits out, a man would get his todger out. It was simple. Everyone would have a laugh. The policeman would get his helmet and cover the fucking todger or the tits. It was a bit of a laugh. But now there seems to be, tasering us. That's a bit extreme.
Oh, I think it's great. I will, I just cannot deal with the app at the moment. But, have you got any others, Shane? Or is that it?
I think that probably is. I probably had more than my fair share.
Nathan?
I'm not sure, actually. I've had my hate of the week is people that think that having a bad childhood is not having Sky television. So I'm just leaving that there.
Ben?
If you know what that means, then that's it. People, yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, I've got three. So first one, echoing Shane, because after you told us about your pickpocketing, Shane, 2 days later, my wife had a bag stolen the holiday.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Which, yeah, thankfully didn't have any kind of cards or phone or anything like that in.
Scrapes.
And then 2 days later at Barcelona, so this was in Sitges where we were staying, where we thought it was after we'd survived Barcelona, where we were on red alert the whole time. We were just having a meal in Sitges and someone took the bag. And then 2 days later at the airport, there was a woman on the plane who'd just got married over there and had her bag stolen, just dropping off the hire car at the airport. Oh. And all the kids' nappies, milk, she had a baby with her, so none of the stuff she needed on the plane. You think, well, I hope you enjoy them nappies and that baby milk.
Bastards.
Wankers.
Yeah.
Travel delays. So coming home from holiday, sat on the tarmac at Barcelona for 3 hours, which was great with two young children in tow. And then I felt your Avanti pain today coming back from London with a delayed train. And the worst thing about it is because work had paid for the tickets, I can't even get any of that compensation in my bank account, so no benefit whatsoever.
Any final thoughts, lads? Oh, sorry, Ben.
I had a third one. Corporate gilets.
Well, you bought one.
I didn't buy one. I was given one at work after we had a conversation about gilets just the other day. I was given one by work, which I was wondering what the reason for it was. And I said in the group, I thought maybe they want to make us look a bit street at conferences. To which Coggy replied, is that street in a made in Chelsea sense? Which I think probably sums it up. And also, when did they stop being body warmers? That's my other question. Sure, how did they call them body warmers?
Exactly, Ben. That was exactly going to be my point there. That there were always body warmers. When did we get to this corporate gilet thing?
I'm a tight arse, so I want. If I'm buying something, I want arms on it because they're being cheapskates. So fuck knows. We haven't done this in a while, so it's very. Right. I will to conclude. Any final thoughts, lads? To the regiment, obviously.
I'm just really happy that the mag will continue, and you know we've still got people who are listening to this, even if they might not have subscribed already. You know, you can still do it. Like, the more the merrier, obviously, because we've still got time.
Yeah, it's still out until the end of next month. So huge thanks, everyone. And we've also got another one of these. We've got Red News Day out, which sadly Shane can't make, nor Ben. But there's a few of us out, and we're going to do a podcast, the early stages of it. We're just having an all-day sesh, and you'll find out where. And isn't it nice for us baldies? Well, you lot have got hair, but for baldies here, that we can have pride in our baldies again, that bald could well be best again, or is best. And I think before we go to Nick, who'll do his Sid Lowe in Snooker Hall impressions to conclude this with, I think I'm just going to go back to Bruno's pass and just going to watch that pass again. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for your time, lads. To the regiment. Yeah. Cheers. See you later. And glory, glory, Man United. Hiya. See you later.
Hiya. Nick, one of the Red News sellers here. Barney's asked me to do a little bit of a 3-minute roundup, so I'll try and whittle through these points. Couldn't make the podcast last night. I was at a gig at the Corp Live, but I'll mention that in my hate of the week in a minute. Topics, really, first of all, he said on Eric, I'm really happy with the decision that he's staying. I think it's a common sense decision for me personally. I think any manager that's averaging one trophy a season shouldn't probably be sacked. I know it's not perfect. We all know that. Football's not been great at times, but I think a lot of the reasons we all know, don't we? A lot of it's been out of Eric's hands. You know, it's lack structure. And I think he deserves the opportunity to be part of a good structure and this new one that they're implementing as well. His signings haven't been great. You know, maybe Bar Martinez, you know, really, maybe Hoyland, you know, they've not been unbelievable, have they? You know, likes of Antony and Anana have obviously brought a lot of question marks, particularly. But I still think that, you know, if he's not making those decisions and he can be allowed to coach the team, I still think there's something in there. And I think that the final few games of the season really showed that, and obviously the final in particular. What does he need to do? Realistically, he does need a bit of a clear out. I know that a lot of that's probably out of his hands, but I'm excited that players like Martial, Sancho, Greenwood, you know, those likes are, you know, left or are looking at leaving. And hopefully there's decent money in there for a couple of those, you know. So hopefully that can go into his budget. But I think the main thing that really I think that Ten Hag needs to do this season is probably lighten up a little bit. And I think that you saw that after the Newcastle game when he was on the pitch and talking and he's having a bit of a laugh with Bruno and stuff. Maybe he knew the end was coming and he was just sat there thinking, I'll enjoy the ride. I don't know, you know, maybe we won't find the answer out to that, but I do think there's a bit of a character in there, and I do think the players quite like him, and I think you saw that with Cobbie and Garnacho. I think Bruno really quite likes the guy as well, and I think that's part of the decision really why I probably do want to keep him. I do think the players probably quite like him, and the ones that don't like him are the ones that we don't want there anyway, and that for me I think is another great reason to be keeping him. Summer transfer window, I think the entire spine of the team needs to be focused on. I think you've got to start with a new centre-back. I think it shows the importance of when you've got two good, capable centre-backs in there, we are actually not that bad, you know. So I'd probably talk for Anning to extend him for another year. I know he's not always fit, but when he plays, he's immense. You know, in that cup final, and particularly Anfield, was a standout in that 0-0 draw. He was fantastic. So he needs replacing first and foremost. Amrabat's probably worth purchasing for 20 million. It's not really a lot for a player these days. But I'd like to see another centre midfielder come in as well, you know, so Cobbie doesn't get burnt out. And I think finally you need some company for Hoyland. You know, I'm excited to see him make the next step, and I think he will do that. I think he's got it in him. But he can't be the sole leader up front. Someone else has also got to be in there. How've I felt since the cup final? Just still bouncing. It genuinely was one of the great days of following Manchester United Football Club. And I know I'm not quite as experienced at 35 years old like the rest of you, and you talk about places obviously like 99 or Rotterdam and stuff like that. I've never had those. But certainly in this modern era of following United, that's got to be right up there as one of the great days. It was just perfect. I've consumed every podcast possible on it, I think, every bit of media. I've watched the highlights well into double figures. Honestly, it was just fantastic, and it's put a really nice gloss on the summer. Finally, hate of the week, definitely the Co-op Live. It's £9 a pint. That is just sickening. You've still got to get back into town afterwards. And when you do, you miss the last tram home. You know, at least with the arena, you're already in Manchester. This one here, you've not only got to walk past the Etihad, just to make it worse, but again, you've still got to get back into Manchester afterwards. And I know it's a short walk down the canal, getting on a tram or whatever, but it's just not the same. Anyway, enjoy your summer, Reds. Thanks very much for listening. And thank you very much for the continued support of Red News. It's great to see that people want to see us suffer and stand out in the rain again for another year. Thanks to all of you for that. I'm going to invest in a new waterproof.